Hey guys, come join the conversation. We're going to be talking all about ghosts and the paranormal. Be right back. Grab your popcorn and snacks. Find a comfy spot, take a seat or lie down, and let me transport you to a place of fantasy, ghost stories, ancient legends, odd creatures, alien encounters, and other magical topics. You may even decide to join the conversation. From faraway lands to your own backyard, with a small dash of pixie dust, turn out the lights and open your minds. The journey is about to begin. Hey everybody, sorry for that, technical issues. Welcome to the show. Hello, we are broadcasting to four different places tonight. We are broadcasting to Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and TikTok. Welcome, TikTok. It's very rare that I can broadcast to TikTok because I don't have the stream key. So usually the conversations I'm having are with somebody else during the show. But since tonight I'm flying solo, I get to broadcast on TikTok too, so I'm really excited about it. Let me get this clicked on over here, make sure it's the right one. Let me make sure it's the right one. I just had it and I lost it. Is that the one? Yeah. Okay. Welcome. My name is Charlotte. I'm going to be your host for the next hour. I'm also the owner of the California Haunts Paranormal Investigation Team based out of Sacramento, California. We are 45 strong up and down the state, which means if you think you might have something going on paranormal, we can help you out. It may take us a while to get to you, but we do have mediums on staff who can phone you and talk to you about what may or may not be going on in your neck of the woods. And they can, in most cases, they can calm the situation down. Just a quick note over to TikTok. I do have a goal of 100 roses. So if you guys like and hear what you see, please double tap the screen today. I'm trying to see if we can reach at least 2,000 likes. That would be great. And then share this broadcast, okay? I do the broadcast Sunday through Friday. Sunday, we're on at 6 p.m. Pacific, where I read from a paranormal-themed book. This month, we're reading from Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And then the rest of the week, I interview guests about paranormal, really cool paranormal topics. Normally, you would have to watch this show on YouTube. But like I said, tonight, I'm flying solo. So I'm able to do this on TikTok as well. Okay? It's how I can get my stream key. You know, it's good. You know, the other shows are at youtube.com/@CaliforniaHauntsRadio. All right. But in the meantime, welcome, everybody. If you're watching from Facebook, and a lot of you are, please feel free to hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. Hey, Dad, Cal, how goes it? Please feel free to hit that follow button if you haven't done so already. Same thing goes for YouTube. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done that. I got over 1,000 videos at YouTube, the role of this show, all kinds of different topics. You're going to find something that you like. Same thing for Twitch. And, of course, TikTok over here. Double tap that screen if you like what you see. Come and join my boo crew. You know, follow me. Do some following there. You know, or subscribe. Subscribe even. Doing all kinds of ghostly things all the time. If you're in a ghost in the paranormal, this is where you want to be. Okay? This is where you want to be. Okay, that being said, over here, back over here, I'm trying to like balance all this stuff, right? I'm juggling. For all the other ones I mentioned, please feel free if you like the show, leave me a thumbs up, show me some love. Okay, just show me some love. Double tap that screen, okay? Double tap that screen. I want to try and get at least 2,000 likes. I'm going to be on for about an hour here. I see Dad California is in the chat room. And for all you guys out there lurking, I apologize for yesterday because for some reason, I didn't see anybody come in my chat room or anything like that. And I get over to Facebook to check the numbers, and sure enough, there's 14 comments. So I didn't see any of that. So it's not like I wasn't acknowledging you guys. I just didn't see them. Okay, tonight's going to be a different show. I didn't know what I was going to do tonight. And in fact, I was debating whether or not to do like a best of tonight. But I was watching the A's game. Well, I was listening to the A's game, so that took up most of my day. And I thought, you know what? We really haven't had a chance to do a Q&A one-on-one about ghosts and the paranormal. So I thought maybe this, you know, tonight's a good chance to do that. Okay. A little bit of my history. You know, I grew up in a haunted house, and I also had this, what made it bad was I had this vivid imagination. So when I would see things in my house, my family would laugh it off and say, oh yeah, you have a good imagination. Well, it wasn't a good imagination. In fact, what I would see is I wasn't seeing until later on in my life. I never saw ghosts for being like white fat fuzzy things or anything like that. What I saw was Shadow Man or Dark Man. Because I remember the first time I saw anything like that, and this, this can go down to what I was eating and stuff. You have to look at it logically. My mother and father would go out Saturday nights. That was their date night. So my sister and soon to be brother-in-law would take care of me on date nights. And I used to have a thing about popcorn. I had this big bowl of popcorn, big jug of ice water, and I loved ho-hos at the time. So I would sit there, eat my little ho-hos and eat my popcorn and all that. And we would watch creature features on Saturday night, all those Grade B movies. Some of the ones were they just weren't all Grade B. You had Dracula and all those old movies and stuff I would watch too. So one night I fell asleep and my sister picked me up to take me. This is how young I was. She was able to carry me to take me into our bedroom. And I remember looking up. I was half asleep, and I remember looking up, and I saw a dark man pass by my window. Of course, I told my family, my sister. Nobody believed me, right? Okay. So later on, as my little life progressed, and my sister married, and I was here alone, I would things started to ramp up. I was laying in my bedroom one time, and this is just before my sister got married, and she had like this psychedelic butterfly up on the wall on. Remember, it was like the 70s, right? So she had like this psychedelic butterfly up on the opposite wall from where I was laying, and I looked up there, and I saw two hands waving, kind of like this. Again, they were dark; they were not light beings. Okay, so I don't know what I was really seeing. Was I seeing dark beings, light beings? But that's what I saw. And of course, I reported it, and ha ha ha! It's your imagination. Later on, I had bunk beds in my room. I slept in the lower bunk, and both my sisters were home, were there at the time, and I went to bed. I was always in bed by 8:30, never later than 8:30, except on Saturdays. And so I go to bed, and I always had a nightlight on. I've always been afraid of the dark, always, for as long as I can remember. And I'm laying there in bed, and I saw this hand reach down like it was trying to grab me from the top bunk. What was it? A shadow hand. So. I've had this stuff going on all the time. And then, I kind of got older as I progressed in life. I would see stuff. One of the things I saw when I was in elementary school, I used to, both my parents worked out of town, not out of town, but worked, right? So they weren't getting home till 4:30. My dad didn't get home till 5:30. And so I would come home and make a little food bowl for myself, a top ramen or something, and just relax. And I would look into my backyard from where our breakfast nook is in the kitchen. And I remember looking over, and we had a fireplace. We still have the fireplace, but there's a fireplace there, and then there's like this divider that has cabinets on it to divide the room up. And I remember looking in that direction, and I saw, that was the first light being I ever saw. I saw this light being fly across. If you were thinking, a typical ghost, whatever it was, the universe made me see, it was something that wouldn't scare me. So it looked like a typical ghost, like with the sheet on, and it flew across to the right. And I remember I was kind of spooked. I didn't want to walk around that way. It kind of bothered me back then because I wasn't into all this stuff. And so I would always make it a point either to go in my living room from the other direction, or I would run through that area. I just take off at a dead run. And so a few years later, I remember sitting there again, and this is when I was in high school. Again, I would come home and have a little lunch and all that stuff. And a few years later, I remember sitting there again, and the being appeared again, and it flew back the opposite direction, like it was going from that particular area to the fireplace. It just waited a couple of years to make that turn, that turnaround. And I remember seeing that, and it still kind of bothered me, but I just went my merry way. You get involved, like when you're growing up, everybody has psychic abilities. You just don't utilize them, and so they get pushed way to the back of your senses and brains. And that's what happened to me was, as I was growing up, I didn't have as many experiences once I hit my teen years, because I had other things to do. I had sports, I had homework, I had friends, I had all this stuff I was doing. So I kind of pushed it back, right? So then I got interested in I went to community college, got interested in video because I wanted to produce videos and audio. So I got into doing that, and that's when I decided that I was going to do a paranormal show, but I was going to feature one particular paranormal team, and I would film them. The show was called California Haunts. I didn't go to college till I was like in my 30s. I was a late goer to college. And double tap that screen, everybody. Give me some likes. And share. So I went through it. I decided to do that. The second I started doing that, and it's because when you get around other psychics and you have abilities, your abilities just start coming out, right? I had no idea this was going to happen. So I would have meetings with this other team, and, you know, I'd attend older meetings. I'd be on my way home, and flashlights, it was creepy because I'd be driving along, and a flashlight would turn on by itself, in the back of my SUV. And I'd get out, and it was on. I don't know why it was on, right? It started to freak me out. I was going home, and I was hearing knocks and voices and stuff when nobody was here. And knowing how this house is now, there was a lot going on here. And so I was going through that. And then when I asked for help from the team, they kind of chuckled, because this was going on with me. So I used to watch Sylvia Brown on Montel Williams every week. And she helped me. It helped me to watch her because she made it not seem so scary. Because, things were happening in my car when I would drive it. Things were happening here when I was in my bedroom alone. Things were happening. And at one point, I remember my mother saw something in the house. I think it might have been my grandmother, because my sister had just had a baby, and they came to visit. They brought the baby. They had it laying on the couch. And I was in bed for the day, and my mother was yelling at me via, not to bother the baby. She thought it was me coming down the hallway, and it wasn't me. So she saw something, But anyway, going on with the story. So I gradually got used to experiencing stuff. Then I started my own paranormal team, and I see stuff all the time, and I was bringing stuff home all the time. Then I discovered after doing all that my house was already active. Okay, I did this one video over at the Woodland Opera House, and I came home, and there's this one particular ghost over there, and we'll get more into that, who that is. But this one particular ghost came home with me, and I remember I had a stack of videotape on my desk in my dining room, or just in the den that I was working on the video, and I got up to go use the restroom, and right in front of me, something hit the videotape. The videotapes went flying right in front of me. All right. That's the kind of stuff that happens. I have ghosts in my house. They're generally relatives, and I know they're here, but I can tell when it's someone that doesn't belong in my house. Okay, I can tell when it's someone, because it acts completely differently from the ones in my house. I made an agreement with the ones in my house, right? I said, look, I know you're here. I know you're here. Don't scare me. We'll just live, we'll live our life happy. Okay, so this is what the agreement I have with the ones that are in my house. So when I bring something home from an investigation, I can tell right away because they act completely differently. Right, it's completely different. For instance, I've had ghosts that have I've been in the bathroom. I got things about haunted bathrooms. I don't do well, bathrooms and haunted locations. And I heard a man's voice talking to me in the bathroom while I was doing my business. Not cool, right? Then I heard the same voice. Went to go to work one morning, turned my TV off, and I heard the same voice talking. Not cool. Not cool at all. But I've also had instances here where because I have a through the wall air conditioner, and I've had instances where something has torn off the front of the air conditioner and thrown it across the room. That has happened. My father was here one day, and my mom had these felt roses, real beautiful felt roses, and he witnessed it. I didn't witness it. My dad told me that while he was sitting there at the breakfast nook, right, that nook place, while he was sitting there, he saw the rose come out, and it got pulled off, and it was horizontal, hanging in the air, and then it fell to the ground. So he saw that. So he got really into what I was doing with doing investigations and stuff. In fact, like he told me, if he hadn't been wheelchair bound, he would have come with us every investigation, because he really, really got into it. Okay. So that stuff was going on. But, like I said, I can tell when I bring home something that doesn't belong here. And usually, you know, it's funny because you think they'd hang around, but sometimes, you know, in the most bad cases, some do hang around. But for the most part, they realize they're not supposed to be with me here in this location, and then they leave. But another way to get them out is you either, you know, drive back to wherever you got them in the first place, and then cast them out of your car. Now, my neighbors know what I do, and I'll open up my front door, right? I'll open up my front door and all the windows, and I'll start yelling for whatever this thing is to get out of my house. I do it. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I used to do it a lot when I was really, really, you know, doing two investigations a weekend, right? Because I would bring things home like crazy. And so I do that. So the neighbors know that I ghost hunt. But my house has always been active, and it's always more pleasant. I know who's here. I'm not going to name names, but I know who's here. And since my mother passed away, the energy has calmed down a lot. She's here. She visits me. My father occasionally will come through. My brother will come through. And one of my uncles will come through. And I have a cousin who likes to come through and visit me. Okay? I'm not going to say who it is, because I have other family out there that may not find it copacetic to say it. So I'm just going to leave it at that. But I have a cousin that visits from time to time and has been seen sitting on the couch taking care of my mother while I had to go to the restroom. So he pops in every once in a while. And he is the one who, in fact, for tomorrow night's show, I got that EVP last week when I was working on the computer during the show. He is the one that voiced his opinion about everything during the show that I didn't know. So I have an EVP from that. So I'm also Class A. But I've been used to the ones that are here. And it's interesting. Have I seen them? No, I have not. I could feel that my mother, I'll be watching TV. My mother loved to watch Frasier with me in the evenings. Sometimes I'll sit down to watch Frasier, and I can feel my mother sitting next to me, and she puts her hand in my hand. And she used to do that when we went to the movies, and her nails were just long enough that they would dig into my palms. So that's how I know it's her. When I'm sitting there watching TV, I could feel her nails kind of dig into my palms, right? When I had congestive, well, I still have it, but when I was first suffering from congestive heart failure, my father was very prevalent. My father had congestive heart failure, and I didn't know what was wrong with me. I had no clue, because I couldn't lay down. There's no way I could lay down. But that's something that happens to congestive heart failure people. They don't realize they have it, and when you go to lay down, hello, Pamela. Pamela has congestive heart failure. See, Pamela's, you know, when you try to lie down with congestive heart failure, your lungs are filling up with mucus caused by the salt that your body can't get rid of. And so when I would lay down, I would gurgle really bad. Yeah, Pamela says yes. And so I would sleep in my office chair. You know, I was working on cases anyway, so I would sit in my office chair at night with the air conditioning on and sleep. That's how I slept for a long time. But weird things were happening, like there was this light bulb fixture up above, again, the breakfast nook, right? And that light bulb would flicker. It would never stay on, and it was on and off all the time. And it was a new light bulb. You know, I could go tap it, make it sit straight, then it would start it up again. Didn't know why. I had no clue. Then one day, like everybody else, I'm testing out those silly apps, which I don't believe in, on the phone. And one day, I happened to look at my phone, and it was turned to one of one of those silly ghost apps. Let me get in here a little closer for you guys. And it was turned to one of those silly ghost apps. But the thing is, the message that came through, because it would play audio and text, and so the message that came through was kind of frightening. I mean, I didn't understand what it meant at the time, and it said, "Go to hospital now." And I thought, okay, that's weird. So eventually I did go to the hospital. I did go to the doctor to see what was going on. And that's when they discovered what I had. I ended up going to Kaiser because I could hardly walk like 3 feet down, you know, on the floor without having to sit down because I was out of breath. Couldn't figure out why. You know, so I ended up going to Kaiser and ER, and that's when I got diagnosed finally. So I'm thinking that was my father telling me to go to the hospital and get things worked on, right? You know, to get looked at. The other thing that happened during that period, because it was just me, it was just my mother and I here, and I was alone going through that. I went through it alone. I did all the water pills, did everything they wanted me to do. And I told them that. I said, well, my dad had this. I'm afraid of it, but I'm not as afraid of it because I saw my dad. You know, my dad lasted almost 20 years with his. He was a big survivor. And believe me, the man never ate the right food. He wasn't into that stuff. He stopped smoking, though. But he never ate the right food. See, I eat the right food. I try to eat the right food. And so, not that I was relaxed with it, I was still scared. Didn't know what was coming. In fact, I remember telling Kaiser when they diagnosed me and looking at the ER doctor, I said, I don't want to die. I like life too much. I don't want to die. And they said, you're not going to die. We're going to take care of this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I didn't get my heart ablation. They go in when they do an ablation on your heart. And what they do is they go and I don't know if they fry the nerve up or they do something to the nerve to make that part of your heart that's misfiring, they shut it down so that the rest of your heart takes over. So I didn't get that surgery or that procedure until a couple months later. Because I remember Halloween, because I remember telling them, I said, just give me the pills. And they kind of laughed and said, well, you've gone this long with this. Yeah, okay, we don't have a problem with it. And I remember because I like to decorate my house for Halloween and stuff. And I remember going out and doing that was still with the heart failure. And I was, and I thought I was like my mighty Joe Young, you know, all right, you know, going out. But at that point, I had already started to take the medication and eat. I didn't get in until the day before Thanksgiving to have the ablation done. And then once it was done, my heart got quiet. I would sit and watch TV. If anybody's ever had heart failure or you wonder what it is, I was sitting there watching TV. And my heart would take off, like you know, really start to beat really fast. At one point, I could hit 275 beats a minute with my heart. It was really scary, and that's when I realized that I had to get this stuff done. So I got all that done. Had nothing to do with paranormal. I'm just saying things that happened while I was going through the initial treatments. That's paranormal. I went to this place because they had to put dye in my veins to see if I had any blockages or anything like that. So I had to go to this place with dye. And the problem was, every time they rolled me in, my heart would start up again. And they had to roll me out because it would raise my blood pressure. And they put us in these prep rooms. So the next time I went with my headphones, you know, and classical music so I could try and keep myself as calm as I could. Well, when they put me in the prep room, there was a little tiny prep room, probably about the size of what my studio is right here. And this FM 102 station here in town was on, and it's pop music, if you want to call it that, you know, like Taylor Swifty stuff, right? That kind of thing. And I was listening to it. And it was funny because, you know, being nervous going in to have this done, this procedure done. And all of a sudden, the music changed. And it changed to a song that had been my father's favorite song from the 1930s. And that is the point that I realized that the message on the phone, you know, from the app, and the fact that the song changed came from my father and the light above where he used to sit. It was my father trying to tell me that something was wrong and I had heart failure. That I needed to see the doctor. So that's the paranormal part of that story. And it's interesting because when I think back, you know, everything was happened within like 1, 2, 3. First, the light starts to act up, and it kept acting up once I got my procedure done on my heart. I haven't had a problem with that light. It's never blinked ever since because it acted like it had a short. I mean, that's how much it blinked. So that was my dad. That was my dad telling me, you know, hey, you need to get help. Go to the hospital. And yeah, like I said, that's never happened again. What has happened in this house, and I remember way before I started doing paranormal stuff, as I said, as an adult, you know, when things started to happen, I remember I used to always work a late shift. So I would get home and I'd be sitting in front of the TV trying to wind down, and then I'd turn everything off. And I remember I would be sitting in there, and we always had bar stools up at that breakfast nook. My grandfather would sit on them, my dad would sit on them. And I would sit on them, and I remember they squeaked. They always had a squeaking sound when somebody was on there. So I'm sitting there, while it's like 3 a.m. I'm sitting there watching TV trying to wind down because I got home at midnight from work. And thank you. Please double tap that screen. Let's see if we can get 2,000 likes today. 2,000 likes. And share the show. And so I remember sitting there and I could hear the bar stools squeaking, like somebody was sitting on them. But there was no one up, so I was the only one up. So the bar stools would squeak. So it was kind of fun, kind of fun. The other thing that would happen, and the TV, you know, because we always had remotes for our TVs, but one day there were no batteries in the remote, so I just turned the TV on manually and then turned it off. Went to go lay down for a while, and the TV kept coming on by itself. It was turning on and off by itself. And there were no batteries in the remote. So something was messing with the TV as well. So I remember nights like that, you know, with things happening. And again, once I started getting into ghost hunting and filming the other ghost hunting team, weird things were happening in my house. You know, my dog, I would go to college because, like I said, at that time I was going to college. I'd come home and my dog would be cowering behind a chair in my living room because there were ghosts, I guess, you know, around, and she just couldn't handle it anymore. She just would cower. Or she would jump up on the kitchen counter like a cat. And I'd find footprints all over, you know, all over my kitchen, my white kitchen counters. Because she was so scared of whatever was there. You know, she didn't like it. So, you know, like I said, this stuff has been going on with me almost all my life. Almost all my life. And so I started my own team. You know, we started to do investigations, and sure enough, you know, I have seen a lot. You know, I tend to attract stuff. I've seen a lot. I had a conversation the other night with my guest, Nicole, from San Diego, the Ghost Center, and we were talking about the Queen Mary. And one of those things that happened on the Queen Mary, and this is, again, before I was into doing this stuff, one of those things that happened with me on the Queen Mary was that we were doing their paranormal tour. Back then, it was a tongue-in-cheek kind of tour. Because there was that room where they would close the door, the bed was made. They'd open the same door a couple minutes later, and the bed wasn't made. You know, so it was kind of a tongue in cheek thing. You'd walk through the ship. Oh, Pamela. Okay, hey Mike, what's up? They scare me sometimes too. It depends on the ghost. Trust me, even I get freaked out. It was one of these things where you would walk through the tour. And the doorknobs on these staterooms would turn by them, would shake and turn by themselves because they had rigged them. So we were in this area next to this dining salon. Let's say dining salon, and we were walking through, and all of a sudden I felt like I wanted to throw up. And if you haven't been in the Queen Mary, yes, it's a ship, but they put stabilizers on the ship so that, you know, if the tide's coming in and out, the ship doesn't move. Plus, they took out a lot of the guts in the bottom of the ship, and they weighted it down with mud. So that ship doesn't move. It's like sitting in your house. You don't feel the movement or anything from the ocean, you know, Long Beach Harbor. And so that couldn't have been it. You know, my stomach just felt, ugh, it was just a horrible feeling. And literally, I never felt it, you know, I never knew what it felt like to have a stomach flip. It literally flipped on me. And I remember my friend who was with me at the time looked at me and said, "You need to sit down. You have turned green." And I said, "Really?" And so the guy that was hosting the tour came over and he sat me down and he started asking me, "Oh, I see this happened," you know, and I explained to him exactly what it felt like. And he goes, "Oh, I know what that is." And I said, what is that?" He says, "Well, it's a little girl, the ghost of a little girl who people see and feel. She passed away on the ship," or his story was she fell overboard. But what the extent on that story was that she does this all the time because she's looking for her mother. So any woman that comes aboard the ship, she will automatically go up to and maybe hug. I don't think it was a hug, though. She'll run right through them. And that's what happened to me. This little girl ran right through me. So that was one of my first experiences with what I call getting goosed by a ghost. That's what I call it, because it's not the first time or the last time that happened to me. One of the other most notable times was I talked to you about the head guy at the Wilden Opera House who was like a stage manager. We were there doing a post, and while I was sitting there, I could feel somebody go through my body. And then what happens, it's draining. It's very draining. So no matter how healthy I am, and I was healthy back then, I remember that this stuff would happen, and I'd be down for 2 or 3 days. I mean, it just sucks your energy out of you when that happens. It just sucks your energy. And so it happened that time. I knew, and at that point, when I felt whatever it was go through me, I knew what had gone through me, right? Now, I mentioned, now that we're on the Woodland Opera House, might as well shift with that. Woodland is a few miles away from us, and it's about a third, it's about a, probably a 30-minute drive, maybe. I used to work out there, the newspaper out there. But right next door was the Woodland Opera House, which is very famously haunted. It's got a certificate in there that certifies it from the Historical Society that it's haunted. It's haunted by several ghosts. Of course, there's actors and actresses there that haunt it. There's the stage manager that we talked about, okay? There's also an opera singer. I think she's a Polish opera singer that hangs out of there. Hello, TikTok. How's everybody doing? And what you got, Pamela? I'm reading your stuff. I'm going to enlarge this a little bit so I can see it over here on this side, too. Give me a second. See, now Pamela says she's felt it twice. Get that ghost out. Mike is too funny. Anyway, oh yes, so the different ghosts of the Woodland Opera House. Madame Macheska is the opera singer, and she not only haunts the Woodland Opera House, she also haunts other opera houses and stages as well, including the Sacramento Theater. Okay, what's going on? Yeah. I like Mike's comments. trying to get that ghost out. That's funny. So she also haunts other theaters, and one of the places she haunts also here in Sacramento is the Sacramento Theater Company. And I was there on a ghost hunt filming the other team again before I had my own team, and somebody came out and said, "Hey, somebody's looking for you." Well, I'm thinking it's a human being, right? So I'm sitting on the stage going, "Okay, who is it?" And she says, "Well, she's an opera singer." And I said, "What do you mean it's an opera singer?" And so it was the opera singer from the Woodland Opera House that was looking for me. I thought that was amazing because I was still new at this, you know, doing this stuff. I thought it was amazing because the ghost remembered me from the opera house enough to call me by name. So that was kind of cool. Anyway, getting back to the opera house. The history is, like a lot of old towns, fire was everybody's enemy, right? And I'm just looking at the comments coming up over there. And so at one point, it burned down. Okay. Story goes that there was a volunteer fireman, and unbeknownst to the other firefighters that were fighting the major part of the fire, this fireman got locked into the opera house. They shut the opera house to make sure that nothing would, you know, no flames would ignite over there and stuff. But not only was he in there, but the two guys had set the fire were also in the opera house. So I guess he was trying to track them down when the opera house caught fire, and he died, something fell on his head, and then the floor collapsed and he ended up in the basement of the opera house, right? So you've got his energy, you've got the two guys' energy, you've got the stage, you've got old stage hands over there, you've got the stage master, you've got Madame Macheska running around, lots of stuff going on there. Men and women there. There's even been pictures, and my good friend Ann Bender got this photo of somebody walking up the center aisle at the Woodland Opera House. And none of us were there. It was an empty aisle. My investigator, Jose, we were there with Channel 10 a few years ago, and he actually put a command center up on the second balcony so I could look down on everything, run my cameras down and all that from there. But while I was sitting there, he was snapping photos. He got the photo of two children sitting kind of about 10 feet away from us, right? And what we're trained to do, and what I train my people to do, is you take three photos in a row, and you stand there, and you stand there in the same spot, right? So each photo was taken one after the other in the same spot. First photo, nothing. Second photo, the children are there. Third photo, they're not there. So that was really cool. You know, so, you know, we have gotten full body apparitions in there. The other thing that's happened when I've been in there is that you can see sometimes the photos will pick up what looks like orangish yellow on the walls, on the main wall over that ended up collapsing. And so it looks like flames. Now, are they flames? I don't know. It's just there's photos where you can see this orange yellow thing, you know, on the walls. Depiction of, yeah, I don't know. But one of the interesting things is that the guy I talked about, the the guy that is the original stage manager over there, is that he's not too happy with ghost hunters going in there. He's very protective of the opera house. And so when you go upstairs, it's not for everybody, but when you go upstairs and you start walking upstairs, sometimes you feel like you're out of breath. Or like something's holding you back from you know, making your ascent. And it's more than likely him. But sometimes when you go up there and it's something, I think it's a general feeling because the place did burn down, right? As you start to go up there, you feel like you're out of breath. And maybe it's due to the fact that, you know, how fire is, where the smoke cuts off your breathing abilities or whatever. But you start to feel like that going upstairs. There's an interesting orb, and I'm not into orbs, okay? I'm not a big orb person. But there's an interesting photo that one of my team members made on that stairwell, right where that manager is supposed to be. And it's an orb in motion coming down. It's coming down the stairwell, like he's trying to stop her from doing stuff, okay? So that photo's there. Also, one time, as I was going up to film, I was going to go up the stairs to film. One of the psychics from the other team came down and looked at me, and in a deeper voice said, "No photographs, please." And it hit me, and I kind of stood there for a second going, "What does she mean?" Because I had a video camera, but it was, "No photographs, please." And then somebody else walked by, one of the other psychics walked by and said, "That's not her." And then it hit me, and I thought, oh my God, it's the guy that polices up and down the stairs, right? So that happened while we were there. Also, we were up on the second balcony area in the back, and there's a place to walk, the mezzanine, the lobby. And while I was filming, and we were talking allegedly to Madame Macheska, I actually got blotches. The psychics would tell us when to take photos. And so she says, "Hey, take a photo. She's right here. So I took some photos, and a series of photos, one of the photos actually has white splotches in front of her face that we caught. But not only that, while we were talking to Madame Macheska, I heard something fall on the floor. We all heard it. Something fell on the floor from, like, out of the blue, because I mean, it just had, you know, regular ceilings. There was nothing special about what was on the ceilings. Something fell down the floor and went rolling off. Turns out it was a little pearl, like somebody had a pearl necklace that came apart and fell to the floor. We still have no idea where it came from, but it was there. It was definitely there. Then you go downstairs in the basement where, you know, the guy's body ended up. And real quick, second balcony. If you go down the end where the wall actually collapsed, some people will feel a headache up there, because that's technically that's where the wall collapsed on the guy's head. But you go down the basement, you can feel the energy because that's where they found him down there. And the psychic was talking about all the people that were down in that basement, you know, the costume people and all that. Double tap the screen if you like what I'm talking about. If you like the show, double tap the screen, share it, come follow me. I have a lot more stories like this. So we get down there. She's, you know, we're kind of like in front of her, like we're her audience. But she said there were people down there. There were people down there because that's where they would change for the shows. That's where the costume designers would be down there sewing costumes, right? And she said they were all at her feet. And she said, "Yeah, they're right here. They're right here in front of me. They're right here in front of me." So I took a photo, and I have the photo up to this day. And there's like an ethereal stream. If you guys know what ethereal stream is, it's like what they call ectoplasm, right? You see that in Ghostbusters, ectoplasm. And so it's an ectoplasm that was at her feet, just where she said it would be in, and in the shape she said it would be in. Okay, so that came up. The other thing that came up, I was on the stage, and having a stage background, I can say it was stage right, stage left, and I actually picked up a green mist in several photos that moved around the audience seating area, and you can see it in the sequence of shots. When I get my website back up, it's all going to go back on there. So, yeah, so the Opera House is interesting because the reports, you know, from even the employees that work there and the volunteers that work there are numerous. You know, there's reports on the stage. There's a baby grand piano on the stage, and people will come in and see that grand piano moved. It moves on its own. It moves around its own. Ladders will move. when they used to sew the costumes up there, the ladies would go to lunch, and they'd come back, and all the thread was taken out of the costumes. All the work they had done was unthreaded. So, you know, things like that go on all the time. The Super Trooper lights that they have up on the second tier, those go on and off by themselves. Those do weird things. You know, there's reports of ghosts up walking the catwalks. You know, I got to go. I'm not big on heights, and I actually got to go up on the catwalks at the Woodland Opera House. It was kind of freaky, especially in the dark when you're up there. But we went up there because there were reports of noises coming from the catwalks. You know, so I'm, you know, that place has to be one of the most active places around, especially in this area. And I'm just curious because, they've done a little bit of renovation. And I just wonder. I was out there over the summer with Karen Clark, and we were just generally, because I was putting together a thing for TikTok, and I'm still finishing that up. I got distracted doing other things, like life. And so I'm going to be putting that together, but we actually went to do a visit. And the lady that we talked to was supposed to send me a photo, and I got to get a hold of her again because they picked up another apparition at the Opera House. So I'm curious to see what that looks like. But that's one of the most haunted places around here when you talk about ghosts. Earlier I mentioned like hearing that voice talking to me when I was in the restroom. I have a number one rule. I don't go unless I absolutely have to. And I always make sure I have somebody with me. I don't deal with haunted bathrooms. Because I have this, you know, having the abilities that I have, I have had faces come right up to my face while I'm sitting doing my business. I don't like that, you know. There's a story of being at the Empress Hotel in Vallejo, and I got left. I volunteered to be alone because we didn't have the key to get back in the place if we went to dinner, because there was a restaurant around the corner. So we got there early and decided to go to dinner, and I was left alone, and I knew about all the ghosts in there. So, you know, I get spooked, okay? Even I get spooked. It is 25 years, I still get spooked. And I remember being in there alone, and I remember thinking, oh, yeah, if I go that way, there's a ghost back in that direction. Probably ghosts out here. So I decided to go use the restroom, had to go. And it's not so much a ghost story, but it's kind of fun. I didn't know that they had just had their bathrooms rebuilt and redesigned and rewired. So what they did was they had them designed for green, right? For green use, it's California. And so I go in there, and the second I step through the door, the lights pop on. Right? So I sit down and do my business. I stand up, of course, the toilet flushes automatically. But I screamed. And you could hear the scream outside, and some poor guy that was walking past the front door of the theater came in to see if I was okay. It happens, right? It happens. You're in a dark, gloomy place, and you're alone, and you know you pretty much know what's in there, and then you get freaked out. It happens. I don't like the dark, even today, even to this day. I've always slept with the light on or the TV's on. Don't like sleeping in the dark at all. Another great place to visit, and you guys have probably heard of it, Moss Beach Distillery. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on there. Probably seen it on Ghost Hunters. One of my other favorite places is the Brookdale Lodge. I don't even know if ghost hunters are allowed in there. I know from the two or three times that we went that after that they started charging for time in the Brook Room. And what makes this place unique, and you've probably seen this on TV, on some of the older ghost hunter shows, and Search of used to feature it a lot, so did Unsolved Mysteries, is that it's a beautiful, beautiful restaurant bar. And right in the middle of this thing, and then they built it around this, there's a creek that runs through the middle of it. Beautiful. All the rocks, everything, you got that going on. So you get to sit there and dine and sit by the creek indoors. That's what makes it so cool. Well, back in the 20s and 30s, Prohibition, it was full of gangsters. Full of gangsters. And it's reportedly haunted. You think about the Disneyland Haunted Mansion or Walt Disney World Haunted Mansion. Well, this is supposedly haunted by close to 100 ghosts, maybe more. Okay, they're still in there having a good time. In fact, when I walked in there initially, you know, there's that scene in, I'm sorry, I had a brain fart. There's a scene in that one movie, Stephen King, okay, there's that scene in that one movie where he walks into the bar, he opens it, you know, into that ballroom. He opens the door, And all these ghosts are standing there with their drinks inviting him in. Okay? And that's what I envisioned. When I opened the door, I had a vision of all these mobsters standing there. And it was automatic. Just popped right in front of my eyes. And they're all having a party. And it's like, come on in. Come on in and join us. Come on in. Come on in. And so we walk in there, and the story is that a little girl was playing by the creek. And she fell in the creek and died. Unalived. Sorry, TikTok. Unalived. And so to this day, people see her from time to time, and they hear her giggling as she's running around the creek area. It's pretty cool. What do we got here? I see it. Okay. Double tap that screen, guys. Double tap that screen. Share this. Show me some love. Show me some love. You guys over here, too. You guys on the laptop, show me some love. So, yeah, she runs around the creek area. So, anyway, we're in there, and all kinds of things were happening, and really weird feelings. You feel like you're being followed around. Didn't catch her, though. I was hoping to catch her. But one particular photo that got taken that was very interesting was we decided to have a dinner break. Again, I was with the other team filming them for the TV show California Haunts. That's how this all started, because I was filming for Public Access at the time. And my assistant that was out there with me, he kind of had psychic abilities going on. So he and I kind of took off on our own to go to the pool area where it was reportedly haunted, right? So we're sitting there at dinner. Someone's taking photos. And in one of the photos, which is not published because this gentleman did not want it published. But in one of the photos, you see a hand, an arm, literally reaching through his head. I can believe it, Forest Lawn. I can believe that. Mike says a night watchman walks off Forest Lawn. I can believe it. I can honestly believe that. So anyway, you see this photo of this hand. It's literally, you see the arm going through the back of the head, and the hand comes out this way, you know, like they're reaching through his head. And it freaked him out because he couldn't understand why or how that was happening. You know, he didn't know why they chose him and picked on him. But that photo, I saw it myself. The photo does exist, right? One of the things that happened was that we were in one of the little lounges. Because there's two or three lounges there. And we were doing an EVP session with the psychics and everything. And one of the ghosts of the a gangster didn't want to work with us because he didn't want his wife to know that he was cheating on her at the Brookdale Lodge. So that was kind of funny. They also have a mermaid room. Old places like that, you know, the older places back in the 30s and 20s and stuff, used to have mermaid rooms where women would put on mermaid outfits and swim. They had a mermaid window in their bar area. And you go in there and it feels like the room is spinning. The second you walk through the door, there's like a portal in there. And that's where the majority of the ghosts and activity are coming out of, is this portal. But there's a lot of reports of the rooms. Some of them burned down too. A lot of this burned down. But there were reports of the different guest rooms and stuff where people would wake up and there'd be some guy dressed like a mobster standing above the bed. You know, looking at them. Lots of reports out of there. Just tons of reports. Very haunted place. And I hope, you know, I haven't been out there in a long time. And I just don't know the details of what kind of shape it's in or anything like that. But I wish them all the best because that is a very, very active situation out there at the Brookdale Lodge. Very active. Another interesting footage we got. And my team in particular, you know, once I put my team together, we were let loose in the world. And you know, we've been getting some really cool footage and stuff that I can't explain. You know, usually when we go over our stuff, it takes four or five of us to go over stuff so that we can come to some kind of consensus about the stuff, whether it's evidence or not. You know, so it goes through very rigorous testing before we do it. And with the other team, again, we were at, I believe it was a hotel in McCallamy Hill. Can't remember the name of the Hotel Leger, I think, in McCallamy Hill. And I've seen really incredible things happen. And the psychic at that time, and Bender was in a rocking chair in this room that used to belong to this woman who technically died of a broken heart because her husband would cheat on her down the hall. And so she starts rocking. I've got a camera, a Sony video camera on Night Shot. So she starts rocking back and forth. And every time she rocks forward, she gets blurry. And I noticed this. And so I would pan the camera away to see if it was a camera thing. No, camera was fine. But she would, you know, this went on for like 20, 30 minutes. And so I started to ask questions. And so all of this, and from what we gathered, from what I was told, was that Anne had just kind of sat down and kind of let the spirit in a little bit. And so when she would rock forward, she would rock into the woman, into this woman. And then she would rock out of it. But she says it was real sorrowful. What's the word for it? Sad. We'll just go to sad. Sorrowful sounds bad. It was really sad because she could feel her sadness because her husband was down the hallway with another one. But she would rock back and forth, you know, and see that. And I was able to see that. Not only that, when they went down the hall, the rest of them, I was left in the hallway. Didn't realize I was sitting in the main ghost chair, the gentleman. And I was sitting there just with my video camera, just sitting there. And the video camera picked up this weird orb and blurry thing coming down the hallway. And so I'm trying to warn people. It's like 2 in the morning, so I'm trying to be really nice about warning people because they had guests. And I actually picked up the blur as it was coming down the hallway towards me. And it not only came down the hallway, I could feel it when it went by, so I had it on film the whole time. So I turned around, you know, tried to get their attention because I was in the hallway. They came out finally, and she said, "Yeah, it's them. You know, it's him. He came running down the hallway." So I had allegedly picked him up on video. So stuff like that happens all the time, and you've got, like I said, you've got to be able to go in there. And I know investigators hate the word debunk now, but you have to be able to go in there and try and debunk it as much as you can, you know, when something like that happens. Is it a camera error? What's going on with that? But those cameras that I use, they're older video cameras, they're really good at catching ghosts like that. Because when a ghost is present, it will blur up the camera lens every time. Woodland Opera House, Murphy's Hotel, up in the Gold Country. Up there with my regular team, and it had just remodeled, and I thought, okay, we're gonna see some good stuff, and we did. We were in the Mark Twain Ballroom, which is upstairs, and that's where they hold older wedding dances and everything like that. And Jose on our team was sitting across from me. We were at a table. We were kind of doing the seance, kind of not doing the seance, just trying to contact something. I had taken the motion detectors that I had and put them about 10 feet away from the table all the way around because the idea was to see if a ghost came to the table, the motion detector would light up, and I could tell when they were coming and going. So sure enough, saw it light up. As I'm sitting there with the video camera, I'm looking at Jose, and all of a sudden, he gets blurry. I focus off of him, nothing. It's clear. Focus back, it's blurry. So in the footage, you hear me say, "Jose, you're blurry." And the next thing he says, without hesitation, he says, "I don't feel well." And again, remember I told you guys in the beginning about Goose by a Ghost, how your stomach will flip and you just, it feels like the flu, really, when it happens. And he said, "I don't feel well." And so Sharon Rowe was with us that night, our medium. And right away she says, "Don't think this is funny. Don't think I'm blowing smoke out my back end. But some of the guests at this hotel are very famous. A lot of them went down with Titanic, right? But General Grant stayed at this hotel. No fooling. Okay, there's a room upstairs in the old part of the hotel that you can rent where he slept, and it's glassed in. Okay, but sometimes you can stay there because there's a big curtain. Okay." Sharon looks at me and looks at Jose and she says, "It's General Grant." Immediately Jose says, "I don't appreciate you doing this. I don't appreciate you coming into my body. Get out." Second he says that, he clears up. That's it. Whoever it was, you know, for sure if it was Grant, left him at that point. But that's something that happened. I have that on film too. Can't wait to get my website back up. And that was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen. You know, next to the whole rocking chair thing. Because I mean, it happened so fast in front of my camera. You know, and then everything lined up. I said, "Jose, you know, you're blurry." He says, "Yeah, and I don't feel well." And on it went from there. You know, so things like that happen. Goose by a Ghost. That's what I was called. Goose by a Ghost. But there's been a lot of stuff like that that's happened. A lot, you know. Objects moving, doors slamming. Had one that I caught on camera where it was a bedroom in this house, and everybody was downstairs, and the door, and I have two investigators in the room, and the audio's running, and you can hear the door unlock, and it opens. And you hear the investigator's reaction real calm, saying, you know, going, hello, hello? Right? No one behind the door, nothing. Because you could see, you'd be able to see, because you know how doors have that. Because it was dark in the room, right? So you know how doors have, you could see light through some doors around the door frame. You could see the light. There was no one there, there would have been a shadow through the door frame. So that was a legitimate catch, you know, of a door opening by itself with the investigator sitting there. So, I mean, it's an interesting thing that we do as ghost hunters. Took a look at my time. Where are we at? Okay, we got about 5 more minutes. It's an interesting thing we do as ghost hunters. Sometimes you get lucky when you want investigation. Sometimes you don't, you know. But the times that you do get lucky, you know, the idea is not to get excited, not like certain investigators on TV. You know, you don't want to get overly excited and make an arse out of yourself and your team. You know, you stay as calm as possible when stuff like that happens. Just like when that door opens, how calm my investigators were when they saw it, right? Hello, and that was it. Just a real calm hello when that door opened. Just like Jose, you're blurry. Yeah, I know, and I don't feel good. I mean, that was the extent of the conversation. And then he gets really angry when he finds out that General Grant is inside of his body. He gets angry and defensive so that he can get him out. Okay, so that happens. I mean, there's ways to behave in investigation. There's ways not to behave in investigations. You know, Nancy Matz can take me through a house remotely. And she could tell me exactly before I even go there. So she does what we do with her when we do residential or any place we go. We only send her the front of the building. We don't give her information on the building. We don't give her addresses. We don't do anything like that. And then she does a remote read on the building. I've been in houses that she has done remote reads for me on. And she has done, her visions are so clear in that she has... told me what that there's wallpaper on a wall and what the design on the wallpaper actually is. She'll tell me where all the furniture is. She'll tell me how many turns I have to take to get to the restroom or get to the kitchen. She'll tell me what direction to go. It is unnerving sometimes to walk into a place like that. And Nancy has told me exactly what to look for, and it's there. Like the wallpaper, the design on the wallpaper. It really, really, it's not like it's unnerving, but you're in awe because she's so accurate with that stuff. Just like doing, I forget which hotel it was, and she told me about these rocking chairs that were all lined up in this, like a sunroom. Sure enough, I go in, and she said they would be off to my left. Sure enough, I go through the door, there's a big row of rocking chairs in this one sunroom off to my left. It's things like that, you know? And for me, I have a lot of people doing this stuff. I've got Nancy doing the pre-reads. I've got maybe one or two sensitives coming out with me on the investigation. We're doing dowsing rods. We're doing ITC work. We're doing all this stuff. And all the cogs come together during these investigations, you know. So you come out, you end up getting pretty good stuff. Not all the time, because, you know, any paranormal group that comes out and says, oh, I got this and I got that, I got this, I got that, every time they go out, it doesn't work that way. Ghosts aren't always out there to play. You know, they have their own afterlife, and they're going to do whatever they want, right? Okay, that's their thing. So you don't always, you know, you don't always expect to get super duper, you know, information or super duper stuff going on. But when it does happen, sometimes it'll happen. It'll happen really rapidly. So you got to be on the ball. You got to be on the ball with it. But like I said, I have seen a lot. I've been through a lot of places. You know, over the last 15, 20 years, 25 years, seen a lot. You know, I intend to take you guys along, everybody, and I'm talking not just TikTok, but everybody. Facebook and everybody with me, when we start to get really back out in the field and start doing stuff, you guys are gonna come along and watch. You know, we're putting a lot of years' experience behind all these investigations, so I'm excited to be able to take you guys with me to show you what we do exactly. So I hope you're here for the ride, especially with the videos. You know, I find these videos on TikTok, And, you know, I know enough about video production. I know enough about CGI and all that stuff. I go through these videos, you know, some of these ghost videos, and I will tell you what I think. Whether I think it's good, whether I think it's a legitimate haunting, or whether it's something that somebody was sat at their computer and created and designed. I will tell you what I think. And I'm very honest about it. Okay, guys, I think we've hit our hour. I want to thank you all for coming over on TikTok. I want to thank everybody on Facebook and Twitch and all those good places. I will be back tomorrow with Medium Nancy Matz. Tomorrow is Casual Friday, so that's Nancy Matz Friday. And last week I had some computer issues. I also had issues today, but I was able to resolve everything. So last week I had these computer issues. And during the problem when I was trying to figure out what the heck was going on, I got an EVP and didn't know it. And I got it's fairly clear EVP. And I put it past my investigators, and a couple of them think that it says that's the problem, because towards the end of this thing, because I was switching, trying to figure out, first I was on the computer died, went onto my cell phone, you know, and all that. And then I discovered what the issue was. And so I said, okay, I was on the cell phone. I said, okay, I'm going to go down and figure this out, you guys. I'll be right back. And that's when the voice came on that I didn't hear, or nobody heard, saying, that's the problem. Okay, real clear. Nancy's talking over it a little bit, but it's real clear. So I'm going to be sharing that tomorrow. In addition to how do you know that your deceased loved ones are around you? Nancy and I are going to be talking about that, because they, you know, believe it or not, they are around the majority of us. Okay, so we're going to be talking about that. That's tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Unfortunately for TikTok, like I said, I don't have a stream key. I don't have a stream key yet, so I don't have the capability of bringing you guys in with us live. So the best way to see these shows, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, is youtube.com/@ California Haunts Radio. That's the easiest way for you guys to see it. Okay? Check us out tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. I'll do a teaser for here to get you guys over there. But Medium Nancy Matz is someone you don't want to miss, because she's really good at what she does. Okay? All right, guys. Thank you all for coming. If you like the show, share it with 5 people. If you hated the show, share it with 5 of your enemies. We are equal opportunity here at California Haunts Radio. We are just trying to get the word out about our little old show. And you guys have done a great job sharing so far with it. And thank you. Tonight, I'll be back on probably around 11-ish, because I've got to do some pre-recording for a show, for another show I'm starting up at 8 o'clock. So usually I go on and try to get on between 10 and 11 to do some tarot card readings. I'll try to get on there a little before 11 tonight to do that. I've got to eat dinner and stuff. So check it out. I will be there, and I will do a free tarot reading for somebody out in the audience. Okay? All right, guys. Have a great time. TikTok. Have a great evening. I will see you guys between 10 and 11. Bye. Push the button. There we go. Bye. Okay, and for you guys, I will see you tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific. If you do know what the TikTok is California Haunts. So like I said, I will be on around probably 11:30, because I'm going to be doing this thing, and then I have to eat dinner at some point. So I will be on tonight over TikTok doing cold tarot card readings, okay? So come on down, and I will see you either tonight or tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. Pacific, with Medium Nancy Matz. Have a great evening.